All right, hello, welcome. My name is Alex Weinert. I'm the group program manager for the Microsoft Identity Security and Protection team. Among other things, our team does identity protection, the product, and then conditional access, which we'll be talking about today, as well as multi-factor auth. And I'm joined here by my friend Dilip.
Hi, folks. I'm Dilip Radhakrishnan. I'm a lead program manager with the Intune team. Been with Microsoft for 12 years now. I lead the team that works on data protection features in Intune, specifically around conditional access, mobile application management, and Windows Enterprise data protection features.
All right. Let's first of all see whose hands work. Who saw Nassos' talk yesterday? My friend Nassos right here. Okay, he's a very tough act to follow. I'm really relieved that only a few hands are going up. What about, this guy's just waving to his friend. What about Brad Anderson's talk? Did anybody see Brad Anderson's session? Okay, so you guys saw some of the stuff highlighted there. That was a lot of fun. I witnessed it from backstage, and it was, I thought he did a heck of a job with 15 minutes of demos or something. We'll try to keep up with Nassos' energy and some of Brad's demos as we go through this stuff. We're gonna kind of do a quick overview of conditional access, kind of where it sits in our thinking and how it comes together. And then we're just gonna do a whole stack of demos. We're gonna take you through a bunch of deep kind of dives into how you can use conditional access today, and then we'll also take you into the futures for where it's going, because we're making a big investment here. And as we go through it, we're excited to get your input and feedback, as well as just show kind of some of the current thinking. So we're definitely gonna give you, the present and the future today, and I'd encourage you get in touch with Dilip or myself to give us feedback on that stuff. All right, so let's just sort of level set. I think that, how many people here are responsible for hybrid deployments now? Yeah, like everybody, right? So, there's the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is that users like it a lot, and it increases productivity, and there's good studies that now vet that and show it. And then, what can be challenging about it is that the old paradigms of, creating a firewall, IPsec, VPN kind of world to secure and manage those users is maybe not appropriate anymore, or at least not sufficient, right? And so one of the things that we're hoping to do is show you how conditional access comes in to actually, help you move to that new world of the mobile workforce in a way that actually, I think, improves your compliance and security posture over where you were before. I think there's a tendency to say, like a little bit chicken little, like, oh my gosh, we can't have our VPN and now it's not gonna work. It's actually, I believe the security posture gets better once you embrace this concept of it's really about the identity, right? It's about the user's identity, and then what do we know about them and their machine wherever they go, so that we're not as bound up in the physical network. Kind of where we sit in enterprise mobility and security is, it's a fun thing we get to do with, on the Azure AD side, we get to collaborate with our friends on Intune, and there's a lot of good capabilities that come out of that. On the AD side, we do identity and access management, so helping your users quickly get to productivity, getting them single sign-on to many different applications. And then within that context, we can do conditional access, so thinking about what are the policies and rules and security posture that you need to take as you let people sign on. We have other things like advanced threat analytics, which contribute to getting a really good insight into attacks that are in flight. And then Intune, which is giving you the mobile mobile device management and mobile application management that Dilip will talk to in a minute. And from information protection, of course, lets us say whatever device that document goes to or wherever it wherever it goes on the network or on the remote world, we have a way to protect it and recall the document and make sure it's encrypted. And then cloud app security gives us a way to monitor what's in the session. So as we go across this suite, there's quite a lot of power, right? And one of the things that we look for is how do we tie all that together in a way that can make sense, that as you think about, the spectrum of the security posture you want to have, how can you ensure that you get that compliance and you get that security? So, in AED, we have, quite a bit of experience helping customers move through this transition from on-prem through hybrid into fully managed. And it's a large suite of environments that we're working with. And that conditional access, we're really working through a lot of customers to make sure that it's working for them. Again, as we evolve it, we really look forward to your input and your insights as to what works best for you guys. We'll leave a little bit of time for you to see the new stuff coming down the pipe. All right, with all that background laid, let's get into the sort of the meat. So what is conditional access? There's, you know, different ways, I guess you can characterize it. But the way that I think about it is it's kind of everything that's happening after primary auth, right? When you go back in time to kind of the old, you know, early days of IDPs, of identity providers, you had this nice world where you could just say, give me a username and a password and it's all good. You know, I'll give you a ticket and go on your way. And everybody was happy because it was all in this encapsulated environment. And we thought, you know, if you came in to the building and we're on that desktop and, you know, all inside the network, it could work out. But as we go into, you know, the broader world, and even, you know, once you have VPN, right, unless you're running something like a SCIF, the question of whether you're really dealing with the right user is, you know, something you need to think about from a perspective of, are there anomalies here I'm worried about? Am I on a machine where I know that I can pin lock that machine? Can I remote wipe that machine? Am I confident in, you know, the compliance posture I have? And so all of those things are things that have to be laid in as policy, and they're gonna be pretty specific to your organization. There's some things that you can look at and you can say, all right, you know, everybody should do this. An example of this is, if you're for sure that a user has a compromised password, you should probably force them to change their password, right? There's other things where you can look at and you can say, you know, if a user is signing in from a new device in a new location, at the same time they're signed in on their old device in their old location, then maybe it's not them and we should challenge that with MFA. Right, so these are other cases where you can say there's good standard ways to do it. But we also need a way for you to express things that are particular to your organization. You know, that particular app always needs MFA. Or, you know, if you're not on a compliant device, you can't get to this class of application, right? And having a way to talk about that and express that, you know, governance, risk, and compliance work is what conditional access is about. It's about giving you guys the tools that you can use to really manage not just, you know, did the credential match, but did the credential match and are all the other things in place that need to be in place for you to do what you want to do. So we look at the things we can pivot on, right? We can look at, you know, what group is this user a part of? Are they part of the execs group? You know, are they part of a rollout or a trial group if you want to do a pilot project? What devices are they on? You know, what's the platform they're on? Is that device compliant? Is it domain joined? Intune, you know, will let you kind of set the specifics of that for your organization. And then we can say that, you know, getting access to, say, Salesforce requires that you have a compliant device. So again, if data gets onto that device, you can remote wipe it. We can look at things like by application, and increasingly we'll be moving to a place where we talk about application classes. So, you know, do my HBI apps require a special level of, say, multi-factor authentication? What IP am I on? Am I on the home corporate network or am I traveling? Right? Does that change the rules that I use for logging into a given application? And then finally, the stuff that we've introduced very recently, and this is just as of the 15th, we went to GA, which is the ability to look at our calculated risk scores for either the user, the likelihood that the user is in compromised state, or that the session is anomalous enough that you should be worried about it, and actually rolling that right into conditional access. We are on an interesting transitional time, right? Because right now we have, you know, who's played with the new portal, the new Azure portal? Like, okay, leave your hand up if you think it was better than the old one. Better? Yeah, good, all right, cool. So a lot of the UX is rolling over into that environment, right? And as we do that, we have this opportunity to make the experience better. But we are in a place where, you know, we have some stuff in the old and some stuff in the new, and we're in that transition time. So what we'll be previewing a little bit today is where things will land, and you'll see how this comes together as we land it in the next few months. Okay, so things we do with conditional access today, we can, you know, you can say, just allow the login, enforce MFA, or block it outright. There will be times when you just don't want to let the login go no matter what. We'll be adding a lot of additional things you can do as on the back of that. So one can imagine, for example, saying if I have a risky user, I might want to enhance the auditing around that activity, right? And so there's a set of things that we're going to be rolling in over the next time frame to make it more and more powerful for you. So I'm going to start off with a kind of a quick and easy demo. And the basic framework here is I'm going to come in and let's see if we got it. Good. So if you sign into manage.windowsazure.com for your tenant, right, and you go to your directory, I'm using Wingtip Toys here. It's one of our favorite demo environments. I can come in and I can select applications. And we have a lot of applications. So, and there's a lot of them configured in Wingtip Toys, because every time somebody says, could I integrate that application, we usually do a demo and we add it. So Wingtip has more applications than you can imagine.
That's about 2,700 plus applications.
Yeah, there's like 2,735, I think, as of today, pre-configured, like, turnkey. And if you want to just use Salesforce, use Drop, obviously Office 365, and those sorts of things. They're all pre-canned. And then you can also point to the applications you have running on-prem. You can create a gateway for that. So there's a lot of power. And Wingtip, our demo environment, is taking advantage of all of it. So we're just going to select down to the Office 365 stuff here. All right, I'm going to do a quick jump out demo. Something hopefully everyone is really familiar with. We'll just sign in. How many of you guys think of yourselves as identity folks in your organizations? Right. So the curse of identity demos, you've seen them a million times, is you're logging in a lot and jumping windows a lot to try to hide the tokens from each other. So if we go in and we do our Office login, right? Hey, guess what? It just worked. And I just got into my mail, no problem, right? So this is what you'd expect to have happen. So we'll go ahead and close this out and then make a little change. So let's go to Office Exchange Online. So remember what we did so far. We went to the directory, we went to the Applications tab, and then all I did here was just do a search because my environment had a lot of apps configured. And I'm bringing up Office Exchange, Office 365 Exchange Online, mostly because it's friendly and we all know it, but this would work the same way with any application you have configured. So this would work with internal or external applications. You know, if you were using, say, Salesforce, it would work the same way. So we'll go through here and we'll click on the Configure tab. And then what you'll see here is multi-factor authentication and location-based access rules. So this is giving us the ability to go through and set rules for what it means to sign into Exchange. So we'll turn this on, and then we can apply it to different groups. So far, you know, we've got conditional access we talked about before. We can do it based on app. So we'll go ahead and show it based on user. And I created a group. For Wingtip, called Wingtip Defenders. Here we are. Okay, and then we can also do exceptions. So ironically, very often it's the C level and the VP level people who want not to have any of the rules enforced, right? So you get mad at you because they're like, oh, you challenged me with MFA and I didn't have my phone. And don't do that again. So anyway, you can do exclusions. I'm not a big fan of that. You would think those people you want the most enforcement for. But nonetheless, you know, we have to do what we have to do. So, but you can do exclusions and inclusions. And part of this is about rollout, right? It's about having a good rollout story. So we'll say require multi-factor auth. We could also do this as require multi-factor auth when not at work. So you're able to go through and say, look, if you're on the corporate network, fine. Just go ahead and use the application. But if you're traveling, we want to go ahead and make sure you're you. So let's use MFA. Or you can just outright block access. You know, this is an application that's only usable when you're at work, right? And this is, again, set up. Now, we're not going to demo the adding the network location, but this is essentially you put in your IP ranges, and then off you go. So we'll just do a straight require multi-factor auth. And then we'll go down and save. Oops. Fat finger. There we go. Go down and save. Okay, and we have the policy in place now. All right, so we'll go back and do a new and private window and just do what we did before. Sign in here. And then assuming no user error on my part, and this is always user error on my part if it doesn't work out, we can go in here. And what we got is, for added security, we need to further verify your account. So a second ago, I showed this, and it went right into my mailbox. Right, this time I show it, and we make a joke. We wait for the phone systems to connect. We hope we're not too deep in the bowels of the conference center. And then my phone rings, and we can enter the code. So here we are. So let me do a answer that.
Verified.
There we go.
Goodbye.
All right, it's worth noting that we don't have to do phone verification, right? There's SMS option, there's an OTP option, so like an oath token where it's just a generating code, or you can do push notification. So there's a bunch of different options in Azure MFA, but once you've done that, you see that here we are, we're signed in. So that was pretty easy, right? In 5 minutes, including fat fingering this browser, having to adjust the scale of the screen, fumbling with my phone. Right, we turned on conditional access for Exchange for a specific group, for a specific location. We're able to say we're going to MFA for that application or any other application of the thousands we support. So for that, I'm going to turn it on to Dilip to take you into the really next level stuff.
Thanks, Alex. Let's get back onto the presentation. So what you saw was Alex setting up an environment where you're able to do a scenario which is only a trusted user is having access to your corporate data. So,
maybe put it up higher.
Can you increase the volume, please? And is this on number 5?
Is that, it's a slide. You just need to switch the slide.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So what we saw was the scenario around how to make sure a trusted user gets access to Office 365 resources. So what we want to now go and move on to is now that how do we make sure only a trusted device accesses these corporate resources and also make sure that only trusted applications have access to this corporate resource. So before we do that, I want to set the context for the demos that I'm going to be doing. One is with the about 33,000 plus enterprise customers who have Enterprise Mobility Suite, we look at all the different patterns that we see with kind of device management and application management. So one of the most common patterns is, of course, if you have a corporate-owned device, as you can see, the preferred way of managing those mobile devices is manage them by enrolling it into a mobile device management system. So be it a point-of-sale device or your information worker devices. So can you please adjust the... Okay. So when you have a managed device, what happens is if it's an iPad or a corporate... Cut me off. Hello? Okay. So when you have a corporate issued iPad, typically you go in and do a volume purchase program with Apple or buy it in bulk and make sure you provision all those devices and you get them managed through MDM. And there are other organizations that would go to the extreme of making sure, even if it's a personal owned devices, you have to have them MDM managed in order for you to get corporate data access. So that's the core use case that we see in most organizations. But the trend we are seeing is with a lot of these new generation of workers coming into the workplace, as well as legal and government restrictions that are coming in with various governments across the globe, the concept of a personal device and who has the ownership and control of it comes up often. So a lot of those cases, the kind of scary messages that we get when you try to do an MDM enrollment doesn't come from an MDM solution itself. It's just the operating system. If you try to enroll into Android or iOS, you get those messages. IT is going to take control of your device. They can wipe your device. And all those kinds of scary messages are putting a lot of people off. And they're very concerned about privacy as well. So based on that, one of the emerging trends is how do you do management of just the applications and the data on the device and not having to take complete control of the device. So that's why you see this personal device column is kind of being both in the MDM-enabled option as well as what I'm going to show you is without an MDM, how do you still secure your access? So that's the context. So now with that, let's first jump into the first set of demos around doing a managed device. So what you have here is the same conditional access experience that Alex was showing you, the multi-factor authentication. That's where the device-based conditional access policies are also going to be there. But before you do that, there's one additional step you have to do. You have to come into the Intune portal and then define what in your enterprise constitutes a compliance policy. So you come in here. I'm going to edit one of my enterprise compliance policies. So what you see here are the list of rules that you have set for a mobile device to be deemed as compliant in order for it to get corporate data. So for example, you could say that it cannot have simple passwords. You can't have like simple 1111. You can say the passcode length has to be at least 6 characters. You can have advanced password settings. And typically, from an iOS or Android device, make sure that, or for Windows device as well, require that encryption is turned on. A good use case that some of our customers love is the ability that if they use the native mail app on a iOS device, the only way to do a proper selective wipe is that mail profile should have been pushed down from the MDM channel. If the user had pre-created an email profile and tried to connect up, and then you try to manage it, since you didn't push the MDM profile or take control of that email profile, you won't be able to trigger a selective wipe. So one of the use cases we address there is to make sure that the email account needs to be managed by Intune. There's a lot of new knobs that we have enabled. One of the things that I'll be talking later in the slide deck when I cover the Windows section is this requirement around health attestation, which offers a much secure boot experience on Windows 10 platform. And later in the demo, I'll be also covering about risk, how do you do mobile risk management and device threat protection. I'll cover that in detail at that point. So the other things that are very popular is to make sure that the device is not jailbroken or rooted. And especially when there was a big issue with Apple iOS devices a couple of weeks back, one of the guidance that came clearly from Apple was get down to 9.3.5, because there were other security vulnerabilities that were exploited by the various hackers. So there's a feature here that will let you set that the minimum OS version with which you're connecting to your corporate network has to be, say, 9.3.5 or something. So once you've set these policies, you've now defined what constitutes a compliant device. So what you then do is come into the Azure AD portal for conditional access and then start defining your device-based access rules. Just like before, you go and target it to set of users and groups. You can provide exceptions if needed. And here is where you specify the policy that says either all device needs to be compliant or I can do it by platform basis. I can say initially I'm going to do rollout for iOS and Android, and I care about that. And then the interesting thing is on a Windows device, we have some options. Because again, when I talk about Windows PC management options, you'll see that there are options to do domain join, SCCM-based management, or just the BYOD style of management for Windows PCs. So based on that, you want to make a choice here and say that I want to make sure only domain joined devices or MDM compliant devices on Windows access this. The next critical decision you have to make and make sure that you configure it properly here is for a service, say, like email, there are so many different entry points to the service. For example, you could come from a browser using OWA, Outlook Web Access, or you could use the desktop mail app on Windows PCs, or you could be using the mobile apps like the iOS mail app or the native mail apps. So you have to make sure when you set a conditional access policy, you've taken care of all the different entry points. You can't just secure one entry point and leave two doors open, because then people can easily bypass your conditional access policy. So what we have done is provided an option where you say that I want the same control to be made sure that if access is happening from a browser on an unmanaged device, enforce the same rule, which is it needs to be blocked, become compliant before it gets access. And the other example scenario is, what about all the third-party mail apps? Most of them use Exchange Active Sync protocol. So again, you have even including the native built-in iOS mail app or any third-party mail app that you download from the store. Again, they also have to be subject to the same kind of rules. So you can require that they need a compliant device in order for you to access. So once you have set up all that, let's take a look at what the end-user experience will be. So I have here a demo device, which is an iPad that has not been managed by MDM yet. And we're going to have this use case of a user going in and entering their username and password. So in order to speed up the demo, I've got it recorded. So you can go in and see what the experience is. So once a username and password is valid. You could have prompted MFA, as Alex showed you, to make sure the user threat is mitigated. But at this point, in most organizations, you would have had the email syncing, and the user has already got his emails already on his new device. But what we did was, because of this conditional access policies that we set, you would notice that the user starts getting email, and then there's just one email in his mailbox, even though he has hundreds in his service. And the email says, let me pause here, say that your organization has set a policy that requires you to be MDM managed and compliant, and we trust you as a user, but this device where you're accessing from, we don't know what's the state of this device, so you need to first go and enroll this device. So at that point, the user moves on and thinks that, okay, this is not going to work. Let me go try to fire up a browser. So he's going to try and go to Safari. So he sees that, okay, this is taking me through the company portal to do the enrollment, but I'm going to just skip that and directly go to portal.office.com and try to access my Office 365 from a browser. So once that happens and I put in my credentials there, again, since it's a valid user, the sign-in happens successfully into the Office 365 service. But once I'm inside the service, you can see that there are different workloads, and I set the policy only on the email workload. So when I click on the mail logo, what it takes me it is to the OWA, Outlook Web Access, and once again, that entry point is blocked as well. So he was told to go enroll, so there's no other choice now. He has to enroll his device into management. So he goes through the whole process of making sure he gets enrolled. So that part, you would have seen so many standard demos of MDM enrollments. I'm going to just help skip and see that. The only key thing I want to call out here is when this enrollment is happening, because of the tight integration we have between Intune and Azure Active Directory, it's not just enrolling into the Intune MDM system, but it is also doing an enrollment straight into registering the device with Azure Active Directory to do a workplace join. So I want to pause and show you the steps that the user will be actually prompted to walk through. He'll say, you need to enroll your device. We need to evaluate all the compliance policies that have happened on the device. And then if it's using a native mail app, because it is not modern auth enabled, like the Outlook app, we have this extra step prompted for him that says enrollment activation. When they click on it, his Exchange Active Sync ID gets associated with the workplace join object in Azure Active Directory. That's how we know for sure that this is a compliant device for this user, and then access is granted. So the rest of the workflow, I'm just going to skip, but you can see that when they go through and finish this process, it's a very guided workflow. It's not just randomly you get an access denied message. You're going to be blocked, but taken through a remediation workflow, and once you're compliant, you get access to your email. Okay. So this is the architecture that I was talking about behind the scene, just quickly walking through it. So you have all the new Office apps. In this demo, I'm showing you the Outlook app, but it's same with OneDrive, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Every application comes built in with two sets of libraries. One is the Active Directory Authentication Library that supports the modern auth that enables MFA, this device-based conditional access. And then the second thing is the Mobile Application Management SDK, which I'll be talking about, which gives you the data leak prevention. So in this case, what was happening is when I put the username and password, it was redirecting it to Intune because there was no device record for this unmanaged device in Azure Active Directory. And because of that quarantine email and when they went through the workflow, it registered the device in AD and enrolled into Intune. We evaluated all the jailbreak detection and all the compliance policy. All that happens within a second. An access token is issued only after that. And that's what enabled the emails to come down to the mail client. So you can see that the kind of tight integration project that we had to do between Azure AD, Intune, and Office services, and every one of these Office services, and every one of the client apps in Office to light up this kind of a end-to-end scenario that has a good experience. And the same thing, just a slight variation we had to enable. We had some challenges because the native browsers, Chrome on Android or the Safari on iOS, we had to do additional work to make sure that they can store our workplace join tokens and make sure that they can have the same experience when you access OWA, and that's how we solve that problem. So you still get the same prompt, redirection to Intune, when you come from a browser and you get compliant and you get access to your service. So moving on, let's dig in a little more into what happens on P PCs, because I shared what's the iOS and Android story. On Windows PC, you see that there are different options for doing management, right? Number one is standard, the base corporate-owned scenario is first thing you do today is join it to a domain. So that's your first set of identity, your set of protections that this is a corporate-owned PC. And the, most of our customers, I would say more than 80% of the enterprise customers, also have our PC management product, which is System Center Config Manager. It's a very popular deployment. It's one of the fastest growing deployments for Windows 10 adoption in enterprises, is using SCCM for management. But we also, in Windows 10, introduced a new concept called Azure Domain Join. So there are some detailed sessions. We have Hiro's session on Friday that you should go attend, where we go in depth into this. But just for a quick summary of what it is and the opportunities it opens up, if you are this modern cloud-only org, or you have a small to medium-sized enterprise, you don't want to deal with on-prem AD infrastructure, this is a great option to go down the path where all the identities for this user and the devices are created only in the cloud. There's no on-prem AD component at all. So in that case, what happens is when you take a Windows Redstone 1 build that came out, you can go buy a device from Best Buy or any other store, and then directly when you boot up for the first time, it'll ask a question, is this a corporate device or a personal device? And if you choose the corporate device, it does this Azure domain join directly in the cloud, connect to Intune MDM, bring down all the policies and configure that device. So that's a model that might work for some of you. So when it comes to BYOD PCs, the choices are pretty straightforward. Starting Windows 8.1, we introduced the concept of MDM into the operating system. So as a part of that, we also introduced the workplace join concept. So you can go in and workplace join and register this device in Azure AD, even though it's a BYOD device. So in that sense, it'll be very similar to the demo I just showed you, where you can register a device in Azure AD. So where do you control all this? It's the same UI I just showed you. Go into the compliance conditional access policy and choose which of these options do you want, domain join or compliant, in order for you to get access. And I've just given this information for you to follow up later to know which platforms are supported on what. One common use case that people use conditional access on PCs is they want to say, if you're on a home PC, I want to completely block access. Say if you're running Windows 7, but if you're on a work PC that's domain joined, I want to make sure you can sync email or OneDrive documents. That's another good use case that you want to enable this. So moving on, how did we expand all the things that we built in Intune for conditional access also to your domain joined PCs? Because that's a use case that a lot of our customers have. So what we have done is extended with the 1606 build of SCCM, that you can go in and put these rules and define a compliance policy in Configuration Manager. So you can really put a rule that says that even your domain join corporate PCs are making sure that they are patched, they are running the latest malware signatures, and they are registered with AAD so that you can set a compliance policy even for your domain join PCs. So one of the things that you would see in SCCM, and this is very popular for users who are tracking a deployment of conditional access, is check how many devices are compliant or not compliant, and once you feel the comfort level is high enough, then you flip the bit and turn on conditional access. Because as a best practice recommendation, we don't say go in and first turn on conditional access, because you're going to have a huge number of help desk calls if people are not enrolled, if they're not compliant, and if they've not met all the criteria. So this is a way that our customers use it to track where they are. And once they feel like, suppose 90 days from now, you want to turn on conditional access, you start sending emails saying you need to be MDM enrolled, compliant by this date in order for you to get access, or you're going to lose your email and OneDrive access. And this is how you track to see how people are doing. So you can go after the people who are lagging behind dismissing the notifications. Okay, this is again just data for you in terms of what kind of prereqs are needed for this whole demo, the PC-based conditional access we showed, which is around, you need Office 2016 or above or Office 2013 for your PCs. You can deploy for Windows 7 PCs that can't do its own DRS, an EXE that you can push out through group policy or SCCM. And then there are still these older clients, Office 2010 clients, that might still be getting free pass and accessing. So there's a way to block that as well by setting up ADFS claims rules. And we are also working with the SharePoint and Exchange teams to create some PowerShell commandlets that let you block those. So the last thing to talk about on Windows 10 is Remember, I showed you jailbreak detection setting on iOS and Android, but on Windows, we went one step further, partnered with the Windows team, which works on TPM and secure boot, to make sure, as a part of the secure boot process, only a truly trusted and secure device is connecting to your corporate network. This can be enabled through SCCM or the Intune MDM agent. So you can really prove that there was no malware, nothing was loaded at the time of boot process that would compromise your device and risk the access to your environment. So moving on quickly, I want to talk about mobile application management. So what we saw so far was only a trusted device can access a corporate network. What we had introduced about a year back, and it's really taken off, is this whole approach to doing application management on personal devices, where we have an Intune SDK that's built into all the Office apps and corporate apps. We have partnerships with Adobe, SAP, Box, and a bunch of other companies, where what you have is a very seamless experience. So when you log in to Office 365 from a mail app for the first time, you get it contacts, in as a part of the authentication process, it contacts Intune, brings down the policies, and that's it. When the user logs in, he has access to corporate data. There's no MDM enrollment required. There's no extra steps that a user goes through for this. And this solution can be used in conjunction with your current MDM in place, or if you're an Intune customer, then you can roll it with, in addition to your device-based compliance policy, you can also require an application-based compliance policy. So let me do a quick walkthrough of that. So what we have introduced, as you would have seen from some of the keynote demos, we have moved, started moving away from the Silverlight console to this new Azure portal, which is where the unification of all features in EMS are coming together. So one of the first things that you would notice is the mobile application management service has been completely built in this new portal. So it's as simple as defining three simple steps in the policy. When you go in and say, I want to create a new policy, I'll call it the mobile application policy demo. And I choose the platform, iOS or Android, because the settings are different on each. And then I say, here are the different applications for which I want to do the security settings. Look and see that it's all available out of the box, Excel, Outlook, Word, PowerPoint. We just recently added Power BI, Yammer, and the SharePoint app. So for this particular discussion, we can let's start going with the basic apps that are most common. So we can do Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint, Word, okay? So I select those, and then I have to go in and say, what is the policy I want on these? So since I'm on an iOS device, I want to prevent it from being able to back up to iCloud. I want to make sure that it cannot copy-paste data and transfer data from one application to the other. I can restrict and make sure that whenever I launch the content, it only displays in a managed browser. And then you have a bunch of PIN kind of policies that make sure that even if you're not managing the device PIN, you have a per application PIN when the app's launched, it sets that. And then the other interesting features that some of our customers asked for is making sure that, for example, a scenario is a user logs in from his wife's iPad or kid's iPad once and then never ever touches that device again. You have your email content synced on that device, your OneDrive documents are in it once, and then it's there forever. So what we've implemented is this feature that we nicknamed the time bomb. So basically, you can set the time interval 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever, and then as long as the next time the device from where this access happened, it's past that time period, it will self-destroy the local content of the document whenever the app's launched. So this could be another use case. Even when your employee leaves the company, you can trigger a regular selective wipe. And even if there were cases where it got missed, this would catch it to make sure that the data is not accessible. So that's the quick story. So then where does conditional access fit into this workflow? So I want to show you that where, that's okay, I go ahead and cancel this. So one of the things that we have implemented recently is to make sure that when you come into Exchange Online or SharePoint Online, I have this new feature that says that only these applications are allowed to access the service. So once I put this policy and say that only Outlook app is allowed to access this service, what it means is when you try to come from an iOS native mail app or any other mail app, you'll be blocked and said, your IT department allows only Outlook app to be the app that is allowed to log into this. So how are we doing on time? And then, okay. So I have a demo for that, but maybe in the interest of time, I'll move on because we have other topics to cover. But Brad showed this in the keynote, right? This is the IT admin console behind it, but when you try and enroll or try to connect using the native mail app, they're going to get blocked and then redirected to the Outlook app, and only those users are going to be able to access using Outlook. So the same is available for SharePoint Online as well, and as new services onboard to application-based access control, we'll be able to do that. And when Alex shows you the future roadmap, we are also allowing a lot of mix and match of these policies. You can say, I want MFA, I want to have device-based compliance and conditional access, and the app needs to be only one of these apps. So that helps drive a very comprehensive device and application-based access to your resources. So I'll quickly switch gear for those customers who are still in the journey of moving from on-prem to cloud. A lot of the times we get questions, this is all great for Office 365, but what about my on-prem servers? I still am on Exchange 2010, 2013, or I'm on some version of SharePoint 2010 or 2013. What's the story? How do I get conditional access? So as you can see from all the demos that we did, a core of our functionality is based on modern authentication and being able to support that. And where we see issue is all these older versions of Office that shipped 5-6 years ago are not built and architected to support this kind of cloud-based modern authentication. So that's where the challenge is, but we've solved the challenge for specifically a few scenarios. We have a solution that if you're on Exchange 2010 or 2013, you can still do conditional access. You can still do the compliance policy that I showed you. But the way we implemented it is working in partnership with the Exchange team. We do block your non-managed devices using a combination of our conditional access implementation with ABQ rules. So what we do is we go and check each time a device tries to connect through Exchange Active Sync, whether it's already enrolled in Intune or not. And if it's not, then we go and set an ABQ quarantine to quarantine the mailbox on the device, and you get the same workflow that I demoed. So you get a very seamless experience, but in the long term, Exchange 2016 and above, they are already building a better solution so that even Outlook app can participate in this. Right now, this solution works only for any EAS mail client except the Outlook app connecting to on-prem Exchange server. So then the next question that comes up often is, okay, I have some SharePoint sites on-prem, and I also have line of business apps, web servers that are running my expense app or my travel app. So those kind of applications. How do I solve that problem? Again, you have another EMS component as a part of Enterprise Mobility Suite called the Azure Application Proxy. So what it does is you have to deploy a set of connectors on-prem inside your environment. And then that connects up and you create, it's like a reverse proxy. So you have to say HTTP whack whack my internal expense site and map it to what's the external facing contoso.appproxy.net/msexpense or sales or whatever app. So once you create that kind of a mapping, what it does is you get all the benefits that we showed today with conditional access. You can still take any one of your line of business apps that are on-prem and then move it and make it subject to conditional access. You can make it MFA. You can do device-based conditional access. You can do all the risk stuff that we talked about. So there are some restrictions like which are the types of apps. Right now it supports all HTTP, HTTPS traffic. As long as those applications meet that criteria, you'll be able to solve this problem. So the other area of on-prem conditional access that we get asked a lot is, what about my VPN and Wi-Fi networks? How do I make sure that a user who brings an iPad can't directly connect to my corporate network, that he has to have these certificates, he needs to be compliant? So what we did was the traditional NAC network access control vendors, we went and partnered with all of them. So we have a solution with Cisco already available. So we announced it in June, the Cisco Identity and Security Engine. So what it does is it checks, as per this API, we have an API exposed to say in Intune, is this device compliant? And only compliant devices are allowed to VPN in or connect to my Wi-Fi network. So that exact same scenario is available with on-prem VPN and Wi-Fi. So Aruba, we are in the final stages of testing. We already announced it. It'll release early in Q4. And Citrix, FI, and Pulse are other partners who are actively working on integrating with the same API. So very shortly, we'll make these announcements on availability dates for these. And the last one I want to cover is, in spite of all these solutions we've given, there's some customers who come to us and say, hey, what about a micro VPN? So we always support per app VPN with Intune. So you have the ability to connect up any line of business app through a per app VPN tunnel into your corporate network and access it. So that's standard built-in feature of iOS, Android for Work, and Windows 10 supports it. But for those customers who are very, very interested in making sure I still have an embedded per app VPN in my line of business apps and have an exclusive access to my, secure access to my corporate network, we announced a partnership with Citrix. So if you have, if you're already a Citrix customer and you have Netscaler, which is deployed, then we are working on getting that lightweight SDK with us so that it interoperates with us and make sure that you get the benefit of both Intune MAM as well as the micro VPN capabilities from Citrix into an end-to-end solution for this. So with that, the last topic I want to talk about is risk-based access control. So you saw all the things that we did about device-based access control, application-based access control. How does it evolve? What's the new things that are coming here? So one of the things that we really saw was on mobile devices, especially Android and iOS, there's huge amount of risks with respect to the devices being attacked by different vectors. One good example is, I'm sure you all heard of the Pokemon Go app. There's so many of these, unless you were like hiding somewhere behind, you would have not heard about it. So one of the things that, I don't know if you were aware, when it launched, it was available only like a few countries, three countries to start with, and it quickly spread virally over the web, where people were actually looking and saying, how do I get that app? And they were just sharing it on WhatsApp, and all the APK files were floating all around. And we had a partnership that we had announced with our partners, Lookout. And what they did was they did this analysis of all the Pokemon-type apps on the App Store and found that there were at least five different variations of the Pokemon Go app that was available in various forms. They were all just malware or infecting the devices. So what we have done is a comprehensive device risk assessment integration with Lookout service. So what we do is, moment one of these applications gets installed on the device, it will be immediately detected both into the Intune console and the Lookout mobile threat protection console. Alert comes out, and because of the conditional access policies that we have, we immediately block access to the compromised device. So now that the device is blocked, once the notification goes through the Intune portal to the Lookout app, and they can prompt the user to say that this is the app that's compromising your device, uninstall it to get your access back. Once they uninstall it, the remediation happens and the threat's mitigated. So this is the kind of investments that are happening around the emerging world around mobile risk and threat protection that, again, through EMS and a tight integration with Intune, we have a great solution with our partner Lookout here. So they have booths there. You should check out the demos in the booth. So with that, I'll hand it back to Alex.
All right. Thanks very much. There you go. All right, so we talked about device risk, right? And how about now? Better? All right, so we talked about device risk and the apps on the device and how that can present some risk. We can also talk a little bit about session and user risk. So my job is kind of interesting in that I am fortunate that I get to help with features like these in Azure Active Directory, but we're also, our team is, I'd love to say something sexy like, we're the tip of the spear, but we're not, we're more like the windshield with the bugs on it. Like, we just take all the hits, So our team actually intercepts about 50 million fraudulent cred pair attempts a day. We process 14 billion logins. We have something like 300 million unique active users every day, right? Across the spectrum of everything from Xbox and OneDrive and Outlook for the consumers in every country where you're allowed to legally operate around the world, right, to 1.3 billion, I think, total authentications on just the enterprise side for AAD, right? So, billions and billions served, right? And one of the things that happens out of that is that we get, especially on the consumer side, we get the benefit of watching bad guys work and then using that information to intercept them and protect you. So over the past 5 years or so, I've worked in various forms of anti-compromise and anti-fraud. My job essentially devolves down to two movies. My team is the priest and the exorcist, right? Detect and get the bad guy out of the body. Right, and the other one is that we're These are cool, right? Harrison Ford in Blade Runner, like, you know, you're driving down the street, you see a turtle on its back. What do you do, right? And you're doing these very subtle detections to figure out who's really an evil robot or who's really a demon trying to possess somebody else's account, right? So we do this all day. We do this constantly. And we have a team of people that are pretty talented machine learning experts and data analysts that go through and do all this stuff for you. And where we started was way back was actually on Xbox. And on Xbox, we had a bunch of people attacking, either because they wanted to steal your gamer account or because they wanted to steal your credit card information or in other ways grief our users. And then we expanded out to all consumers, and we built up this body of knowledge on how to detect these attacks. In parallel, we have a really great machine learning team that was working on building other types of machine learning algorithms for enterprise and some of the security reports. Does anybody here use the security reports in Azure AD? Has anybody ever looked at them? Cool. All right. Still more than we have Google Apps customers. So there you go, Nessus. So the cool thing about that was it gives us this insight right into what bad folks are doing. But the problem is that at some level, telling you about that later is a bummer, right? Because we know that, for example, if somebody gets residency on your domain with any cred pair, it's about 45 minutes them to get domain control. And then about 200 days before you're going to get them out, right? So that's bad, bad, bad. And we want to give you the protection. We want to be that windscreen that gets the bugs, rather than having them in your teeth. So we took all this information, all this detection stuff that we've been doing, and we plugged it into conditional access. So now there are elements of conditional access that you can use, which is risk-based conditional access. So now instead of saying, I'm going to have a heuristic like, if you're off CorpNet, I'm going to challenge you, period, I can say, if you're at risk, I'm going to challenge you, right? And that gives us the nice thing about that is that you get a much lower user friction and a better protection. Instead of guessing at the situations, kind of like, well, it seems like if you're ever at home, you're going to get challenged. About the 10th time you go home, you get challenged. It's like, come on, you know, this is a known network. It's a known device. It's a normal usage pattern for this user. Why are we challenging this person? Whereas if we can get to a place where we look at it, the aggregate risk score with a fairly high degree of detail, we can actually get to a much better user experience. Lower user friction, better security. And that's what we're trying to get to. So as Naso says, you know, it's our job to be invisible, right? And that's kind of collectively anybody in identity. I won't be quite as mean as Naso was, but I will say, you know, we love you. but you know, the people don't generally want to say, like, woohoo, I got an interrupt on my login, and I got to do an MFA challenge, and I had to find my phone. It was awesome. You know, you don't get a lot of that. So our job is to try to get that friction down. And interestingly, actually, we boost the security of the user base by doing that. Because if we don't give people easy ways to do the right thing, they will find easy ways to do the wrong thing, right? All right, so I'm going to give you just a very quick demo of identity protection. You want to go ahead and flip me over, please? All right, so here we are in the welcoming and lovely new portal. And I'm going to go into the identity protection dashboard. So identity protection, again, really what this is conditional access. It's just the risk element. And I'll give you a super fast tour. We're calculating two different kinds of risks. One is the session we're interacting with anomalous for some reason? Is the login coming from an anonymizing network or a Tor browser? Is it coming in from a botnet-infected device? Is it coming in from a weird location? Right? Those are all things that we can look at and say that poses a risk in your environment. And then the next question is the aggregation of those signals on a given user indicative that user's credentials are definitely compromised? Or through a variety of other means, some of which I can talk about and some of which I can be quiet about, we can find out username password pairs that are leaked. So I am friends with the poor guy who is at Yahoo and has a similar job to mine. And man, is he not probably having the best week, right? But those creds get on the web, and if you have a person who thinks, you know, like Shadow IT, I want to go share some files with some other guy in some of the department, I got to come up with a username. Well, this is for work. I'll just use my work username, no big deal. I hate thinking up new passwords. I'll just use my work password. And then that site gets breached, what you have is your corporate creds are now in the wild, right? And that's a problem. So then the user risk is kind of an indicator that those corporate credentials are in the wild, and we want to push those credentials into a safer place. So the cool thing about this is we're in conditional access is that we can go through and set policies. And these are conditional access policies. And what you're going to see here is kind of the leading edge of where we're going with the user experience on this and the policy stuff. So we'll pick user sign-in risk policy. And so very much like what Dilip showed you with assigning policies, you know, to devices, right, for device compliance, we can do the same sort of thing where we can go through and we can pick out specific users to include or exclude to apply the policies to, right? And then we can go, so there's a big exclude list. It's basically everyone else who's demoing in this tenant. It's got the excludes on them. We always want to stay out of Keith's way. He does awesome demos. Suggest you catch that session, by the way. There's going to be a great session tomorrow morning on IAM. They're going to demo everything. Sign-in risk, medium or higher, right? So this is a threshold that we're kind of saying, if you're a risk-tolerant organization, you might set this to high. If you're risk-averse, you might set it to low, but we think medium is the right setting. And then, and again, because it's ML and, here, and the calculations are changing all the time, we can't really say it's a specific rule, right? But the machine learning system can kick in and actually help you get an indication of the risk on the thing. And then we can come up with a set of different responses. So MFA is kind of the classic response when you have a risky login, right? So who here has ever, who's got MFA set up in their environment now? All right, user registration over 25%. Wow, hands dropped. User registration over 50%. Heroes. I mean, we'll buy each of you a beer later. Just come find me. That's awesome. MFA is an essential thing, right? Like if you don't have multi-factor auth, you can't challenge your user because then every challenge turns into a help desk call. It turns into user friction and work stoppage. So you have to have multi-factor auth set up and you have to have registration. You have to have a user base that's ready for it. That's really, really critical for anything like this to work, right? Because otherwise you drive everybody to help desk and then people scream at you and then it's not as much fun. It's much more fun if, you know, self-service password just works and risk challenges just work, and that's all about MFA. Even our MFA registration that you see in identity protection is actually a conditional access policy. The policy is simply for a user to sign into any app, they must be registered for MFA. So if they're not, we throw an interrupt in front of them and we say, wait, let's get you registered. So that's actually a policy, a conditional access policy you can turn on. You guys are getting the sense that conditional access is everything, right? All right. So, so and then we can go through here, and one of the cool things that we did with identity protection in the preview is we came up with this idea that what if we did a look back on the last month of logins to see what would have happened if this policy was turned on? How many people would you interrupt? How many people would you block? Right? So we go back and we actually take your last month of logs and we say, all right, conditional access, pretend like that had happened. How many people did we challenge? So when you set up a policy, you can actually preview it this way. And we can come in here and tell you, all right, you're challenging 35 logins. You've had 35 logins that would have been qualified. This is a bad example in a sense because it's a demo environment. And of course, we make sure we get challenged all the time. But you get a sense of what we're doing here, right? So kind of remember this screen. I'm going to show you some really cool stuff in a minute. But before I do that, remember we logged into office.com before, and then it worked. And then we did it again, and we clicked on an exchange, and we got challenged, right? So let me show you a fun browser. This is a Tor browser. The Tor project, I think there's a lot of really cool things that go on with this. And I'm a big privacy advocate. But the simple statistics are this. If a login is coming in from a Tor network in your environment, there's a 94% chance that it's a malicious login. So it's no mistake for our system to pick those up and say, whoa, that's a high probability of risk, right? So we're going to look at this Tor login, and we'll use this to force the system to react. And assuming I didn't mess up the configuration, it's always my fault. I have learned over the months that it's things like forgetting to hit save. Or logging on the screen too soon. Nope. I forgot to hit save. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So somebody's playing in here. All right, did you guys see this in Brad's demo? Yes? Nope. Here we have an exclusion problem. No, it's just me. I got to figure out. We have too many people playing in this tenant and messing with my config. So I'm going to give this like one more second to figure out. If I don't figure it out, I'm going to jump over this. And I'll have to say, trust me, it would throw an MFA challenge. MFA on Sheev. No, I won't use Aphrodite. Let me show you the next thing. I'm going to stay on topic here. As we're running a little tight on time, I'd rather leave some room for questions rather than debugging what happened here. I'm sorry? No, that's it's locked in this iteration. But thank you. Tell you what, I do want to show you something before we run out of time, and then we can, I promise you, I'll take you through a demo here. So, so conditional access, so we talked about risk, we've talked about device compliance, right? Lots of different stuff going on. And one of the things that we've been working very hard on is to try to get this stuff into a common plane. So what I'm going to show you is a very, very early preview of where we're thinking of going in terms of UX. And this is a place where, in a few short months, we're going to start asking people to say, hey, will you try this out? Let us know what you think. So you'll have a chance to shape this. But if you look at what you've got here, we've got that impact assessment, kind of how many times is this policy firing. You know, we're going to show you the various policies you have going in your organization. The ones we're showing here are risky sign-in and off corpnet. And if you go to add a new policy, see all the things we've talked about today coming together in one control surface. So we can go through here, we can say, all right, let's pick a user set. And we can go take our pilot group. And then let's pick a couple of apps to apply this to. So this is a lot of power. Like, we're giving you a lot of control in terms of how you do this. So pretty much whatever compliance policy you have, right, you'll be in a situation where you can go and make that work out. So we'll pick Exchange and Salesforce. And then we can go through here and say, look, we really just want to trial this right now for iOS. So for right now, let's go through and make sure this works on iOS. Now, there's other things you could look at, right? You could say iOS if the risk level is high, or iOS if, you know, the location is off corp. Right? So we can get into really rich, like, for example, down here, you know, we can get into, let's go into whatever name locations, go through and actually look at the set of, one of the things we've added is this thing called name networks. And name networks is, instead of having one set of whitelisted IPs, you can have a set of named groups, right? So this is my, you know, Asia Pacific office, this is my EMEA office, this is my Redmond office, right? And we can actually roll those in. So, so then we can talk about what are the terms under which we'll do the grant. Sorry, forgot to save there. All right. Okay, and here what we're going to say is we're going to require a compliant device or a managed app. Either one will do fine. So we say require one of the two. Right? And then we have actually got a policy we can work with, right? So we have policy impact. This is an impact 20%. We can pop out and see the pie chart again. But you see that we say, okay, for the pilot group, when they're using iOS, they're trying to get to Exchange or Salesforce, go ahead and require that they're either on a managed device or on a managed app, right? And that's a place where we're going in terms of the UX so that you can pull all this stuff together into one lens. So as a person who's responsible for your identity compliance strategy, right, you're able to get that toolkit right in your hand. Other work involves things like the impact assessment I talked about, as well as things like trending, so you can see how are these policies impacting your users over time. Did something go sideways? And yes, we are fully intending to have things that say, essentially, no, don't put that policy in place. You're going to stop all your users. Because a lot of people are like, wait, you know. So that's what the piloting is for, rolling out by app, rolling out by platform, rolling out by user. All those things help you get control so you can make sure you don't disrupt the organization too much. So that is the early prototype of where we're going next. And you'll see that in the next very little while. And I hope you'll give us lots of feedback about what works and what doesn't for you. So there's a lot of complexity we've talked through today, right? A lot of stuff that you can do, a lot of power in your hands. And our goal is to make sure that whatever your compliance policies are, whatever the rules that you need to enforce, that we can make sure that you have the tools in your hands to do that. The goal here is not to discover that things went wrong, right, but actually have rules enforced that say, for sure, every access to this application followed my rule set. And that's all being done, you know, right inside of Intune and Azure Active Directory. So it's not sort of a, you know, maybe it works thing. It's going to be no ticket gets issued unless these rules are met. So that's kind of the long game for conditional access. All right, so so we just talked through the road ahead. We can skip that one. All right, and I put a few cheater slides. So in the deck that you can get online, you can see like that screenshot. The last thing I want to sort of talk about is, you know, as you look at what we just showed you, this is really bringing together all the power that we're talking about, right? Taking Intune for device and application management, taking Active Directory for user and identity management, and that sort of point of login for that your SaaS apps. We're rolling into it as well strategically things like what's your identity protection strategy? So, you know, under these terms, what's the DLP policy you need to have in place? And then we're also bringing in on the threat side, bringing in signal from Cloud App Security and controls from Adalom and ATA, or from Cloud App Security and Advanced Threat Analytics, so that we can make sure that you have really a complete control plane to work with. So that's how EMS kind of comes together to provide you a really complete suite of protections and compliance controls.
Yeah. To add to what Alex said, this is not just a marketing bundle. I mean, you can see us on stage, like we do engineering of this end-to-end scenario together, right? So we work with office teams, us in Azure AD, Intune, and as you saw from all the demos today, there's so many of these service components. Some of our customers try and say, I'm going to take the best of breed, I'm going to try and stitch together a solution. I have this MFA, I have this identity piece, I have this MDM, and try to do that. And we've seen severe challenges with that. When something goes wrong, like user says, I can't access my email, like where do you start? The help desk doesn't even know where to go and look for this. So by building and thinking about this as more a comprehensive security end-to-end scenario, what you get as the benefit out of that is us thinking through and working with enterprise customers like you to make sure that the end-to-end story is pretty clear and you can have, if I can say it crudely, one throat to choke, like you can call us and support and say, hey, I'm having this problem. And we have activity IDs that go through the entire transaction sequence from the time the user logged in all the way through where was his device compliant or was his MFA not getting prompted. So that's the benefit of a comprehensive security solution you get with EMS.
All right. So we have a little bit of time left for questions. Before we do that, I would appreciate a favor from you guys. This is a little bit wacky, but there's a lot of people, like a lot of people, like hundreds of people back in Redmond that are working on this. And the fact that you're here paying attention to it means a lot to them. I would love to get a selfie with you guys. Is that cool? All right. I want to send it back to the team. So Dylan. All right. Here we go. Everybody smile. All right. Awesome. Thank you. So that's really cool. I hope that this is what you're after. At this point, we should probably open it up for questions. We have about 5 minutes.
If you can come up to the mics.
So if that we can use the mics as a courtesy to the other people in the room.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, question. PC with maybe certificate-based authentication and those kind of things, is this like 290s for you guys?
I can't show you the email right now, but there's actually an email I just sent saying let's put that on the backlog. We're working on it. So yeah, cool. It'll be any cert, like require that a cert is present to continue login. Yeah,
that's
so
great.
We're working on it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yes.
So for mobile device registration.
Yes. Right. So the question, just to repeat the question real quick, is do we require IMEI numbers on registration?
Okay. So there are two scenarios. Just for a basic scenario of doing workplace joint registration, you don't need that. But if you're very, very particular that I want only corp-owned IMEI-based devices, we have a feature in Intune where it lets you define all the IMEI numbers. And any device that's trying to register into our MDM that's not part of that list will be blocked from doing MDM enrollment. So that's the solution.
Can we get this mic turned on, please? I'm sorry, go ahead.
On a managed device, Windows 10 PC, that you apply MDM policy and register it and register it in your Active Directory, can
All right.
On a MDM managed Windows 10 PC.
Yes.
Can I, you know, I can register it in Azure AD. I can manage it. Can I block things like copy and paste, like the containerized features? Yeah.
Good question. So what we did for iOS and Android, since we are Microsoft, we don't own the operating system, we had to go down the SDK path. Our long-term goal is like we ideally want these capabilities to be built into the OS. So for Windows, what we did for all the MAM protections that I talked about, we worked with the Windows team and built it into the operating system. And that feature is called Windows Information Protection. Kind of gives you the same kind of block, copy, paste, and all those capabilities. Today, it requires you to do MDM enrollment with the RS1 release. We're getting some good feedback around it, so maybe in the future that might change. But right now, what we have is a solution for all MDM enrolled devices. Windows Information Protection is our recommended solution, and you can use Intune for managing that.
All right, as a quick, I know it's not your question. Just quickly, you want to see what the user experience is like and your challenge on risk, that's what it is. I had excluded myself from the policy, and that's why it didn't work. All right.
Yeah, I have a specific question on the risk factor authentication. So if I have an application, like a custom application integrated with Azure AD, so can I do a risk-based authentication based on the device DNA fingerprint, whether it will connect the...
I think your question is the device taken into account on the risk calculation?
Yeah, so if I'm accessing through my laptop, will it collect the device DNA fingerprint, like the velocity of the logins, or if I'm logging...
Yeah, the risk assessment is going to take into account whether the device is familiar to you, whether it's familiar to the location, whether it's domain joined, like all that gets rolled into the risk assessment for that login.
Okay. Thank you.
We actually are looking at about 85 different data points on the logins. So there's lots of different angles on everything, on the user, on the risk, on the behavior.
On the device-based role, you said that you can check to see if they're actually in MDM. But the MDM you were talking about was Intune. What about non-Microsoft-based MDM solutions?
So each of the solutions have their own approach to conditional access and access control. This is the EMS solution for it. So if you're using a non-Intune MDM, everything else you saw in the demo today around MFA, user risk, all those would work. But for device-based, because of the tight integration in the demos that we showed, where we had to do device registration, everything part of our MDM enrollment, that's a first-party EMS solution today. So there are vendors having their own access control solutions, so you might be looking, you might have to stitch together that with the rest of conditional access.
Will the Windows Mobile Outlook app also support the application conditional access in the future?
Yeah, so with the Windows 10, you already have support with the Outlook apps coming in Windows 10, the latest RS1 builds, support for conditional access. So they're all Active Directory authentication enabled, and with Windows 10 Mobile as well as desktop, you can do conditional access based on this.
Yeah, but I mean specifically for the application conditional access.
Oh, so yeah, so device, yes, today. Application, future. Needs more support in the OS for that.
Okay, and one second question is,
yeah.
Will the application condition access also support Azure application proxy in the future?
Sorry, can you repeat the last part of the application-based conditional access? What does it want to do?
Will it support Azure application proxy? The answer is yes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So we're in the process of deploying cloud-based virtual desktops with VMware Horizons. And the team is telling me that in order to do MFA with that solution, because we want to allow direct to cloud access from unmanaged devices, that they don't support Radius. They only support Radius, so they don't support the web authentication with MFA. So we, from what I'm told, have to deploy the on-premise MFA component. And I just wanted to validate whether that's correct. And then second, given our multi-domain architecture, we have forced trust between multiple user account domains, and we've got constrained authentication in place on those trusts. And so what we're told is that we need to have a MFA, connector, deployment actually on-prem in each of those domains, and users have to register multiple times, once in the cloud and maybe twice on-premise. I know there's a potentially a connector solution coming. I'm wondering if that resolves some of the challenges.
There's a fair amount of nuance here in the specifics of your deployment, and I'd be happy to take it offline to get you connected to the right resources. Okay. But we do have a Radius connector that is in the pipe to essentially get you to Cloud MFA. We've also done the LDAP adapter, and then the ADFS adapter is something else that's just recently shipped. So depending on the specifics of how you're getting to things, then we should be in a place where you don't need to do an on-prem MFA. Right, it's our goal to move you to a place where all of the MFA you need, you can do in cloud. So if there's anything that's gapping there, we want to talk to you about it, find out where those gaps are, and make sure we close them so that you can get to pure cloud.
Dilip, when you said about managing the email client through the native client as well, we'll be able to manage and wipe the device. Wipe the data will be removed, but it had never worked for us. Mm-hmm. We've done it multiple times, we tested it, and it never worked.
So are you talking about the MDM use case where you did enroll in the device into management, and through the conditional access policy of the native mail app, did you push the email profile?
Yes.
That seems more like a support ticket. We should have followed. Did you file a ticket with us?
Yeah. We escalated and we got the confirmation that it would not work.
Okay. I would like to take it offline and see how we can help in that scenario. I mean, the base scenario, which is we've tested and confirmed, like a lot of our customers use, is the native mail app. As long as the provisioning of the profile happens through Intune, it should be subject to conditional access and selective wipe.
But it never worked. So then we ended up changing the complete strategy to move to Outlook app. And we completely blocked users from enrolling it.
I think you're still better off with the Outlook app, but irrespective of that, we should look into see what went wrong with this particular
existing scenario. We're using the native client, and for all the in mobile line, we're using it right now. So now we're kind of forcing the users to change the strategy right now, but we're not able to make it work. So that's amazing.
I'll be happy. I'm here after this. Let's sync up and see how we can help you with that.
Thank you.
So we are over time at this point, so I'm going to suggest we take remaining questions off the podium so the next speakers can set up. So we'll just go right over here if you guys want to keep asking questions. We're here. Thank you guys so much for hanging around.